Blog Talk Radio.
Rejoice and be glad in it. I'm your host, Brother David, and welcome to the Spirit of a Soldier, where again we come to share the knowledge and the wisdom of God's Word. You know, I'm excited because this is a golden opportunity. Every day that we get God's breath and strength, it's an opportunity for us to draw closer to Him, to get to know Him, to get to interact with Him, to gain knowledge and wisdom and understanding from Him. And you know what's beautiful? That He imparts upon us the power that He gave Jesus, the Holy Spirit, that would illuminate God's word to us. He would comfort us. He would counsel us. He would direct us. He would help us in every step of the way in this walk of this journey, if you will. So it's an exciting time to be alive. Despite what's going on around us in the world, that's okay, because we got God in us who controls the world. Hallelujah. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we just glorify and magnify your name. For this is the day you have made, and we're going to rejoice and be glad in it. Because it's a golden opportunity, Father God, to be closer to you. It's a golden opportunity for someone today, Father God, to be uplifted by you. It's a golden opportunity, Father God, for someone to be healed by you. It's a golden opportunity, Father God, for someone to experience love from you. It's a golden opportunity. Father God, we know that even if we transition from this body, we'll be present with you. But even that, Father God, would be a golden opportunity. But Father, while we walk the earth, we are so wonderfully blessed by you in so many ways. You supply all our needs according to your riches and glory. You heal our bodies every day. You show us, Father God, love through all that you provide for us every day. Father God, we just want to take the time to thank you, to say hallelujah, to praise you, Father God, because you show us love, Father God, when we don't even merit it. You show us love every day because you gave a good thing to us. You gave us your only begotten Son, and nothing could be worth more than that. So, Father God, as I go forward today, let me, David, decrease, and let the Holy Spirit rise big in me, that it may deliver your word, Father God, in a way that will help people be inspired, be motivated, be encouraged, to have hope for the future, to see the best in themselves as you see them, to see themselves, Father God, as children of yours. We hope, Father God, and we pray every day, Father God, that you just bless everyone under the sound of my voice and beyond, Father God, that they experience the true meaning of what your blessings are all about. Yes, these external things have value, but Father God, we want to build our treasures up in heaven because we know, Father God, there is where true peace lies. But while we walk the earth, help us, Father God, through the Holy Spirit, to experience your perfect peace as long as we keep our mind on thee. So we thank you and we praise you in Jesus' holy, majestic name. Amen, amen, and amen. Hallelujah, Lord. Thank you. Well, today's quote for the day is, to lose patience is to lose the battle, Gandhi would say. The next one is, tolerance and patience should not be read as a sign of weakness. They are a sign of strength. Patience is a calm acceptance that things can happen in a different order than the one you had in your own mind. And understanding is deeper than knowledge. There are many people who know you, but there are only a few who understand you. Maturity is not when you start speaking big things. It's when you start to understand the small thing. Hallelujah. And the scripture would tell us in Proverbs 9:10, to fear the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and knowledge of the Holy One is understanding. And Proverbs 18:2 says, a fool takes no pleasure in understanding, but only in expressing his opinion. And Proverbs 20 would tell us, 5, the purpose of man's heart is like a deep water, but the man of understanding will draw it out. And then the scripture tells us in Proverbs 14:29, whoever is patient has great understanding, but the one who is quick-tempered displays folly. And Psalms 37:7 says, be still before the Lord and wait patiently for him. Do not fret when people succeed in their ways, when they carry out their wicked schemes. And 2 Peter 3:9 says, the Lord is not slow in keeping his promise, as some understand slowness. Instead, he is patient with you, not wanting anyone to perish, but everyone will come to repentance. The scriptures are powerful. The quotes are powerful. They are there to inspire us, to give us a different focus. We hear quotes every day from everybody under the sun. We watch the TV, watch the media. We are on the phones, and we're taking in all this negativity. And it's been said, what a man eats is what who he is, but it's truly what you take in your mind is who you are. We need to continue to embrace, to attend to God's word. For he said, it's life unto us. We wonder why we're not healed, because he tells us in his word, it is medicine to our body. But we have to take it in. So the more scriptures we get in our system, the more powerful we become in God. Hallelujah. Well, I'm reminded of a story called The Carpenter's Gift. And it goes, once upon a time, there were two brothers who lived adjacent farm and fell into conflict. It was the first series of riffs in 40 years of farming side by side, sharing machinery, trading labor, goods, and needs without any hitch. Then the long collaboration fell apart. It began with a small misunderstanding, and it grew into a major difference. And finally, it exploded into an exchange of bitter words followed by weeks of silence. We've seen this many times in our own lives and relationships. But however, one morning there was a knock on John's door. He opened it and found a man who was a carpenter with his toolbox. He said, I'm looking for a few days of work. Perhaps you will have a few small jobs here and there. Could I help you? Yes, said the older brother. I do have a job for you. Look across the creek at that farm. That's my neighbor. In fact, it's my younger brother. Last week, there was a meddle between us, and he took his bulldozer to the river embankment, and now there's a creek between us. Well, he may have done this to spite me, but I'm going to do one better. See that pile of lumber drying by the barn? I want you to build me a fence 8 feet tall, so I won't be able to see his place anymore. The carpenter said, I think I understand the situation. Show me the nails and the post hole digger, and I'll be able to do you a job you'll be so pleased with. The older brother had to go into town for supply, so he helped the carpenter get the material ready, and then he headed off to his task for the day. The carpenter worked hard all day, measuring and sawing and nailing. About sunset, when the farmer returned, the carpenter had just finished his job. The farmer's eyes was open wide and his jaw dropped. There's no fence there at all. It's a bridge that stretched one side of the creek to the other. It was a fine piece of work, handrail, beautiful overall. And the neighbor, his younger brother, was coming across with his hands stretched out. Yet you are quite a fellow to build this bridge. After all I've said and done to you. The two brothers stood at each end of the bridge, and then they met in the middle and embraced each other. They turned to see the carpenter hoisting his toolbox on his shoulder. The older brother said, hey, wait, stay a few days. I have a lot more projects for you, said the older brother. And the gentleman said, I love to stay, the carpenter said, but I have many more bridges to build. We can see that even the old saying, blood is thicker than water, can still be diluted. Years, good times, get along, can be successful, but there may come a time in our lives where understanding can get compromised. Patience runs out, and the bridge that once connected everyone together gives in. However, there's always someone on the outside that can see the different through a different lens of how the power of understanding can mend those bridges again. Hallelujah. The power of understanding and patience having their perfect word. With life presenting so many complexities, it is hard to gain understanding and operate at a level of patience that God would say to his children, these are my children, my son and daughter, who I am well pleased in these areas. However, life can seem to take us on a roller coaster ride, which goes up and down and around, creating excitement and fear all at once. Thus, when it lets us off, some of us get off dazed and confused. Some of us get off wanting more, but others are so afraid they cease to stay in the engagement of the fullness of what life really has to offer. Fear takes over. Doubt consumes them. Worry dominates us at all points. We become emotionally compromised. That if we can't see the immediate results, we become discouraged, hopeless, unmotivated, uninspired, and just downright depressed. We've all been there at some point on our journey. The unfortunate part is that we seem to go on this roller coaster ride without proper instruction, where it appears that we have gotten to a point where we experience repercussions nonetheless. Why would one say this? Because for too long, we have been wandering around life accepting the trailer to the movie and not having the full picture, if you will, of what our purpose for life is. Only having half-baked ideals of what we would like to be, how we want to go about achieving it. Yet if we are truthful with ourselves, we come to realize that we don't necessarily have the full understanding for the purpose of our lives, what we are to be and how we have to go about achieving this from God's perspective. Therefore, unconscious living lives are unfulfilled, incomplete, lacking the beauty of perfect peace or maturity, if you will, of which God intended for us to enjoy and that he would be willing to give. Therefore, it would seem reasonable that we might want to contemplate two words that are more powerful than we give consideration through the course of our life. We talk about them every day. We are all comfortable with these words as if we know the true in-depth meaning of these words. But the question is, do we? These words are understanding and patience. You know, we always talk about have the patience of Job, and ain't understanding mellow, and in all things get understanding. But say, these are two power twin words, and unless we truly understand the meaning of their importance, we may continue to walk in a state of minimum knowledge, wisdom, and understanding, versus the fullness of God's plan for our lives, and the blessing that comes with it. Why are we limited by ignorance? When God specifically doesn't want us to be unaware of his plan for our lives. You see, God has a plan for our lives because his word tells us in Jeremiah 29, for I know the plan that I have for you, declare the Lord. And at that, 1 Thessalonians 4:13, but I will not have you ignorant concerning those who have fallen asleep, that you may sorrow as others who have no hope. Now, I understand the scripture centers around the loss of loved ones and death and not seeing them again, but I deem this to be appropriate for those who walk around every day but are sleeping in mind because they lack knowledge. Now, this is interesting because when we listen to everyone else's plan in our lives, they seem to create everything for us but what God has for us. But let's see what God said. He said, I know that plan I have for your life, yet we daily have been getting half-truth from man who is or can be compromised by world ideals for our lives, but yet negate the fullness of God's plan for our life. In addition, his word tells us, our Heavenly Father would not have us ignorant or asleep, yet a lot of us are still walking around asleep, in a cloud, in a daze, confused. We walk around with that lack of knowledge. And because some of us lack God's understanding and knowledge, it can drive us to have that hopeless attitude. However, let's look a little more into Jeremiah 29:11. It says, God's plan is for you to prosper and not to harm you. This is powerful. Why? Because this is coming from God's word. You see, Jesus understood this. When he was tempted by Satan in the wilderness, where Jesus would always make this statement, it is written. I tell you, my friends, that we should begin to investigate what is written, where it is written, why it is written, and what does it mean when it's written. See, Jesus understood this because he knew this deceiver would come to kill, steal, and destroy if he didn't understand the meaning of what God had for him and his plan, for his, for the life he had to come and exercise for us. This is what we need to do. We need to understand this. But instead, we walk around in the wilderness ourselves in life, drifting through the deserts, picking up half-truths like tumbleweeds blowing in the wind, where we are not or no longer meaningful or specific, but just wandering generality. See, we had God. If we had God's level of understanding, we would not be ignorant to God's plan. And unfortunately, many times, we're not taught that. As I always just say to my soldiers when they get upset with their dads because they weren't in their lives, I say, your father can't give you what he don't have. And therefore, our parents, some even our spiritual leaders, political leaders, leaders of the world in general, teachers, they can only give you what the Bible tells us, steady show itself approved, the right to divide the word of truth, that we have to be accountable for our own actions. But sometimes by the time we take charge of our lives, we got so deep-rooted in the negativities of the world that we lose sight. And so God doesn't become the priority. We don't search out God's meaning or understanding. We just go with the flow. As I said earlier, we go along to get along. See, God don't want us to be ignorant. So check this out. God's word tells us why we're ignorant. He said, you're ignorant out of Hosea 4:6 because my people are destroyed because of lack of knowledge. I was going so far as to say that God's knowledge, not man's knowledge, is what we need. See, this book called the Bible is our instructions. It is what helps us to become stronger. I am an advocate reader. I got more books than I can even crack a stick at. And at the end of the day, it's still a lot of it's written by man's philosophy. And because I study psychology and that's my field, I've listened to a lot of the people, read a lot of people's material, that basically they have a man or world point of view philosophy, not a God point of view philosophy. So it's incumbent upon us to take the time to, at least if nothing else, compare man's view to God's view. But we know that when you go with man's view, we're going to get kind of caught up. See, I understand this because it's not totally our fault because that we take charge of our life because God did create us in his image and his likeness. So when it seemed unreasonable that we would step out on our own and find our own way, make our own path based on our own understanding. This is lined up with the story of the prodigal son that validates it. Like Adam made in the image and likeness of God, Jesus, and the Holy Spirit, the prodigal son has some of his father's attributes and DNA. Thus, we may have some similarities, but we're still not the original. To have the knowledge and the wisdom and even the patience of God, like Apollo Creed told Rocky, I taught you what I know, but everything I know. We sometimes think that we know more than our Heavenly Father, and we go on our way just like the prodigal son. But as we all know through our own personal experience, we all get knocked down on our tail and end up in the stall with the pigs. And then we ask the question, how did I get here? How did I get here? Again, because we lack that knowledge. There is the academic knowledge that we got to inquire. There's social knowledge we inquire. There's street knowledge that we inquire. But if it's not lined up with God's word, if it's not written in God's word, then we're not going to get the fullness of what God has planned for us. See, even for myself, in my own experience of walking this journey, there were many times that I took a pause from the course, that I would step away from God's knowledge to do my own thing. And in that, just like the prodigal son, I would end up in the pigsty. broken relationships, heartaches, disappointment, let down. I've been let down, let somebody down, not advancing to the fullness of my potential. God giving me, as he told Timothy, stir up the talents and gifts. I didn't stir them up. And if I stirred them up because I was running on my own engine, I was just putting away in the wrong direction. When I should have headed to California, I'm going to New York. Why? Because I was running on my own knowledge, on my own accord, my own wisdom. So what do we do to truly get the meaning and the understanding and the patience where we be more prone to follow God's plans for our life and be more effective in our journey? Well, let's go to the scripture and see what it says when it tells us it is written. In Psalms 121, it says, I will lift up my eyes up to the hill, to where my help comes from. See, we need to always be looking to God. See, and many times when we're interacting with people, you start talking about God, they act like you're talking a foreign language. And I get it, because now what that really tells me, and I'll say it from my own person, there's a fear. I can remember, I'm going to be online with a brother tonight. And we do this men Bible study. And I remember this guy, we were kids. I was 15, and he was telling me about God. And I was going on to go do what I shouldn't have been going to do. And at that point, when I walked out of his home, I'm walking down the street. It was nighttime. And I'm looking and thinking, I wonder if God going to strike me down. Now, I know I was a little more insightful than that, but that's what I was thinking. You know, oh, my God, because he had presented something to me that I never heard before. He was presenting to me not someone who was just going through theatrics or someone who was animated, but he was presenting to me the power of God's word, and it was beginning to take its effect. Now, it's like all trees that take a time to grow to be a big oak tree. It took time to get me here. Praise God, I'm here, but it took time for me to get here. But he was the beginning of me understanding the power of God's word. And for many of us, we wander, like I said, like a tumbleweed in the desert, picking up stuff, picking up bad information, philosophies and views that does not line up with God's word. So how can we be effective in the way that God wants us to be effective when we go in the other direction that's going to produce nothing but ineffective outcomes? But it's important. So then Proverbs tells us that the beginning of knowledge, I've heard it said that knowledge is power. I believe that knowledge is potential power till we use it. So just like when my friend introduced me to the power of God's word, I didn't use it. Now, I had the potential because he exposed it to me. All I had to do was just start studying and reading it and meditating on it and developing in it. But I didn't do that. So I missed the mark. I tell my son, I had to wonder and waste 20, 30 years that God was so gracious to give me. God showed what we talked about early, showed patience with me, that he would allow me to still be standing at the multiple wars, gang banging, and all kind of activities that were totally inappropriate. That should have been gone a long time ago. Long time ago, activities and events from car accidents to being shot at and everything else, yet I'm still standing. God was patient with me. And I'm sure, you know, we like to listen to, you know, I was talking to a friend and we get caught up in the stars and entertainers and they tell their story. They give their testimony. Oh, I was homeless and I slept in my car for X amount of days or weeks, or I could do this and I was poor. And this, most of us got that story too. And if you became famous, your story would sound like, ooh, that's really bad. They went through that, and they made it. But if we look at our life, not by comparison of what social achievement looked like, but what God's plan is for us and that achievement, then at the end of the day, he brought us through too. That's what I'm saying. I'm still standing. But see, this is what it's about, getting that knowledge. And then in Proverbs 1, the first chapter, it says, 1 through 7, it says, to know wisdom and instruction, to receive the word of understanding, to receive instructions of wisdom, justice, judgment, equality. Now, we're talking about right now in our community, justice and equality. we don't see a lot of justice and we don't see a lot of equality. I'll put a pin right here. Because now I think about this, and I was telling a friend of mine, a dear, sweet, beautiful friend of mine, I was telling her that what do we look for when we talk about equality? What are we looking for? And me being African American, and I see the bias and the things that happen with some of the ethnic groups. I see that. I've experienced some of that. But when I think about where we come from 1963 to present day, what does equality look like? I live in one of the most influential communities in Michigan, and some folks would say in the United States. Now, there was a period of time I couldn't be here. What does equality look like? What does justice look like? I can go anywhere I want to go. I've been from one continent to another because God has blessed me. And I haven't had anybody, per se, stop me from enjoying wherever I went. What does equality and justice look like? We now potentially could have a African-American female vice president, and if the president decided to take a pause for the cause and step back, then she could be the first African-American female president. What does justice look like? We had an African-American or a minority, however you want to look at him, to be the president, not once but twice. What does equality and justice look like? Most of us don't get on the back of the bus because we're forced to. We can sit anywhere on the bus we want. What does justice look like? See, God is the one that gives true justice, because God gives the knowledge and the wisdom and the instructions to truly operate in the fullness of what equality really looks like. What is equality? It's to have a relationship with our God, because from God's eye, everybody is equal. God is not a respecter of person. But we continue as human beings following man's instruction, man's ideal, man's lack of true understanding, we create division. And the word tells us the house divided cannot stand. But what does justice and equality look like? We say this segment of group matter, this segment of group matter, this segment of group matter. Why is it that all matter? Because God said that, he said the earth, as I said, he wished that none should perish. What does justice and equality look like? See, so we have to think about when we're asking, are we moving out of the foundation of love when it says love is not self-seeking? Love is not proud. See, are we operating from the first thing to say love is patient? Love is kind. It would not segregate. It would not participate in activities that would harm another human being. Because it's not about a particular ethnicity race. It's about the human race. He said he wished none should perish. Then it tells us that the beginner knowledge is to give prudence to the simple. To the young man, knowledge and discretion. A wise man will hear and increase in learning. When do we increase in learning? Again, the word tells us all we need to do. Study. Study, 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 study to increase your learning so you would be not ignorant. I would not have you ignorant. A lot of the things we do is out of our impulsivity of emotion. And that emotion limits us from being irrational because we're acting irrational. We're operating from a lower form of the intelligence that God gave us. But this is not nothing new. This was back in Jesus' time too. So what does justice look like? And then he said, a man of understanding, hallelujah, will seek counsel. Will seek counsel, wise counsel. Do we seek wise counsel? You know, when I was a kid, I used to hear you say, you need to build your own counsel. You need to get a group of people that have like minds. Most of us don't. Most of us, even when we get in relationships, you know, they say, again, let me show you what ignorance looks like. You know, opposites attract. We say these little sayings. Don't walk under a ladder. You know, all these negative things that get us to thinking in the wrong direction. But that's what Satan wants us to do, go the wrong direction. Excuse me. Then it tells us to understand the proverb and the enigma or the puzzle. See, you have to dig. You have to take time. Back to that patience for a brief second. It takes time to put the picture together. You see on the box when you deal with a puzzle. And they even asked Peter and them, why do you teach in Proverbs? Because he said those that have ears to hear will hear. In other words, those who are invested, those who seek learning, those who really want to be wise will do their due diligence. But you got to be willing to be patient to get understanding. Hallelujah. Then it tells us the words of the wise and their riddles. You see, Solomon, when he was brought, he was classified as one of the wisest men. When the two women brought their child, Solomon didn't take the normal approach. Well, she looked like the right one. You're like a mother. She sounds good. I think I'm going to go with her. He put him to the test with, if you will, a proverb or a riddle. Basically, he presented something that would put the mother, the true mother, in question. See, because he was wise, he gained that knowledge. He understood, and this is what he asked for in the dream. And then it tells us the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. But check this out. But the fool despises wisdom and instruction. See, many of us ain't trying to hear. We don't have ears to hear. And I send out, if you will, a couple times a week, maybe three times a week, different messages, and they have a little length to them. And I've read them, I wrote them, but I've read them myself. At tops, it may take me, if I just want to just breeze through it, a couple of minutes. But I've had people, and not to insult anybody, but I've had people to tell me they're too long. But if I sent them something about Beyonce and Jay-Z with the same length of all they bizwack, then they would be all in. And then they would call me and discuss it. I know this to be true. But when it comes down to talking about God's word, and again, I know a part of that is fear because they don't want to change. I get it. I didn't want to change. I wanted to keep the party going. Just keep the party going. But the party would lead me down a path that did not give me surpass all understanding. It didn't give me that unspeakable joy. It gave me a temporary fix to a major problem. And I think that anyone in the sound of my voice can identify with that. We've all been in relationships. We knew going in after 2 months they wasn't right, but we kept on in them anyway. We were at jobs that we couldn't stand to the point that they call a job just over broke. They pay you enough to come in, but not enough to quit. And we had all these gifts, all these talents that we didn't stir up. Why? Because fear got in the way. But see, God said when he sets you free, you are free indeed. But fear gets in the way. But see, Psalm tells us in 32:8, I will instruct you and teach you in the way you should go. I will counsel you with my loving eyes on you. Hallelujah. Can't beat that. The creator of the world has his loving eyes on you, and he will ensure that the Holy Spirit will teach you and instruct you. You know, one of the problems I used to always have when I was in the military was that, and I'm a fast talker. I always think I'm from New York instead of Louisiana boy. But I always was frustrated because people would shoot this information out at the speed of light and expect you to get it. Then they thought they taught you something or they instruct you in something. Well, it came the time I became an instructor. And I simplified my act so that a 5-year-old, if they had the capacity physically, could do anything that any 25-year-old could do if they gave me the time. Because I wanted to make sure that I wanted to get it as simple down to the least common denominator that they could comprehend it. Because, see, I knew understanding was important. Because if you understand it, when you leave me, you can go to another state, another country, another job, another environment, and you can do that job so well that nobody living and nobody yet born could do it any better. That's what I believe the Holy Spirit does for us. He will be patient with us. He will instruct us. But we have to have ears to hear. We have to have ears to hear, and we have to be patient enough to get understanding. And then it tells us in Proverbs 19:21, many are the plans in the person's heart, but it's the Lord's purpose that will prevail. Now, we've seen people who have succeeded, and they have moved forward, and they have advanced, and they've done well for their life. They've overcome a lot of obstacles, and, you know, some will get up, if you will, watch the Oscars or Grammys or something, and they say, well, I'd like to thank God, and then they go on to thank everybody else, and with the next tongue is about, I'll be hooking up with you tonight, that kind of thing, just opposite. And I get it, because again, I'm not making a judgment. This is an observation. I always like to say, I like to make observation for conversation, but I don't put it in a judgment to criticize, but to understand, because in all things, we need to get understanding. So what does this mean? Do we really have, because God judges the heart, do we really have the heart motive to truly serve God and work as Jesus did for the purpose of the will that God has planned for his life? Do we do that? And what effort or what are we willing to do? As he said, present your body as a living sacrifice. Now, he didn't say present a perfect body. He said just present your body to be a living sacrifice. What are we willing to sacrifice? What are we willing to do to get understanding? And how patient will we be to get it? As I said before, when it comes down to, are we going to take the pause for the call to read the information from the Bible? Now, the Bible has 66 books, and obviously that'd be a lot for some people. But if they go to take the time to read it, they got programs all day long on how you can read the Bible in 1 year. But will we take that time? Oh, we too busy. We got so much to do. But we're never too busy to call God when we get in trouble. We're never too busy. And we don't even humble ourselves like the prodigal son to say, I know, God, that I'm your child, so just hook me up. But the prodigal son said, I'm not even going back to my inheritance. I'm going back as a servant. Because I recognize, just like David said when he was caught in adultery, said, I've sinned against God. But that's humility. And that we have to work on as well. How do we humble ourselves? Because they said earlier, this is patience and tolerance is not the sign of weakness. The noise, humility, to recognize like the prodigal son that we need God in our life and we need to get understanding. One of the things that the prodigal son recognized is they train up a child away to go, that when they go, it will not depart from them. So therefore, that son recognized that what his father had put in him when he was in the pigsty or in the pig stall, he recognized at that point. And he understood what his father was about. He understood the value of his father. He even understood how wonderful his father was, that he said, my father's servants live better than this, so I'm going back as a servant, you see. But everybody else had parted ways. The friends, the associates, the girlfriends, all they had parted ways. And he couldn't give him a morsel to eat. And that don't have to be physical food. That could be comfort that you need. That could be someone giving you an encouraging word. That could be someone spend a little time with you. That could be someone that call you or text you and let you know that you are valued, you are appreciated, and that I understand you. See, one of the things about understanding is also about acceptance. Once you can understand someone, you can accept someone, but that takes time. Many people want to get on the phone or they want to text and they'll just go back and forth. But at the end of the day, do they really spend that quality time, as the coach said, to really get to know you? To know you, because to know you is to understand you. To know God is to understand God. But how can you understand them if you don't spend no time with them? How can you understand them that when you don't get what you want, you ain't got time, so you have no patience to wait on God because you can't wait because you need it like yesterday? But when it comes down to you making your body the living sacrifice, well, you would get up, as he say, rise early and seek me. Will you rise early? Now, you got your whole day ahead of you. Now, I understand some people are a morning person, afternoon person, night person. I just have to be a morning person so I can rise up. But that's the whole piece. What's your sacrifice? So as I go through the day, because I know my day is a busy, busy day, and I'm no exception to the rule, but this is how I operate. I take my word with me, and I can be at a light, which may not be appropriate, but I can be at a light and I can read some word. I need to get it in me because I know what the world is going to bring me. See, I understand my problems, my addictions, my things that I have to deal with, so I need to be flushed all the time. I need to be flushed off. And I know I'm changing because the difference I was telling you about, there was a time that my brother wanted me to come visit him in a location, and I was afraid to go. I knew I was changing then. Because another time, as I said, I was saying, let's keep the party going. And I went there, and I was successful. I was able to fight the good fight of faith. It was tough, but I was able. But I know the reason I was able, because God was enabling me through his word. This is why it's so important and all things get understanding. And the only way you can get understanding is to be patient enough to do your due diligence so you can get the meaning. You know, I'm often, my mother used to always say to me, I have to get to know you guys. It's quite a few of us. I have to get to know you because you change. You change. And I'm reminded of a story of a lady. I was at an Ericksonian conference, and she told the story of that she was married three times. And she said the first husband loved to go out. He was energetic. We had good times. We danced. We laughed. We traveled. We had great times. Then the second husband, he was more a family man. He helped raise the kids. He was all about planning for the future. He ensured we had a beautiful home. He had made sure our kids got educated. But then the next husband was more preoccupied with what he was going to leave behind and how he could enjoy the golden years. And so someone in their audience asked the question, why did you get married three times? She said, I didn't. It was the same man. He just changed three times through the course of time. But see, she understood the man. See, and this is what it takes, even when it comes down to relationships, and I'm not going to go into that because next week I want to give you some guidance. But I'll leave you with this. Understanding and patience is essential for us to truly be overcomers in this life. There are some principles that we can take to become more true in tune with God's purpose for our lives, and that's what we want. As Rick Warren would say, we need a purpose-driven life. But you can't get a purpose-driven life until you understand what the purpose for your life is. And how can we gain clear understanding towards what approach God would want us to take for the plan of our lives? This is important because as we become more effective, this will help us if we understand God's purpose and we're patient enough to endure, if you will, and maintain that certain level of resilience, we can become more effective in our relationships that will improve our ability to develop in communication, our conduct, realistic expectations of ourselves and others. And then one of the key components in the fruits of the Spirit will be able to develop and maintain self-control. So next week, we're going to discuss how, some steps on how we can go about doing that. And as Brenda Lee and Jerry Butler would say, hey, understand and mellow. Well, the second part of our show is a soldier's perspective. Don't allow fear to cloud God's truth. Since the election process has started, it would appear that many of our people are showing signs of fear, anger, depression, anxiety that is producing outward behaviors of anger, arguments, fighting, disrespect for others, and even planning or attempting to kill others. This is what's going on with our governor. Someone was trying to plan to take her life. This is where the climate is moving to. And from my view, a great deal of this is due to the deceiver and his effective ways to create confusion that leads us to this chaos. And this is not just people who do not know God. This is also those who are believers, my brothers and sisters in Christ, where our attitude and conduct is put into question. Well, we're speaking how much we love the Lord and people, but at the same time speaking ill of those in leadership and others. Again, the word tells us that my people are destroyed because of lack of knowledge, and in all things get understanding. Are we really attempting to get understanding? Are we really attempting to get the knowledge needed that we can, as they would say in the old song, the Kumbaya, we can all live together? Yeah, we are all wrapped up in our emotional views. We're too wrapped in our emotional views, if you will, to see that God is still in charge. God has a plan that the righteous have never been forsaken. I personally have lived under a few presidents, and this I understand, even before I really got into accepting Christ and trying to grow. I have never really been unable to eat. We were burned out in the riot, and no matter what, my mom and dad made sure that I ate. They made sure I had a roof over my head. Matter of fact, I'm going to a home coin of one of my cousins that we live with. And we ate syrup sandwich, butter sandwiches, sugar sandwiches. But you know what? Our belly still got full. It still got full. As a matter of fact, it used to be this cereal called Puffer Puffer Rice. And then we also had to eat rice. I vowed when I got old enough, I was never going to eat rice again. I did not eat rice again until I was in Afghanistan. And some of my Korean brothers, after we would have service, they would make these dish. And that's when I decided it all was good eating. So, but again, I never have been without food. I had a place to lay my head. Even as a soldier, I've slept on the ground. I've been in the field a long time. But even then, God was making sure I was taken care of. God has always supplied our needs. Even in the worst time, God was always on time. So let us trust God's word that he will never leave us or forsake. That he supply all our needs, that we are his children, and we are blessed coming in and blessed going out. That his benefits of forgiving us of our iniquities, healing all our diseases, redeeming us from our own destruction. And then he crowns us with his loving kindness and tender mercy. And he blesses our mouth with good things that we know that our youth can be renewed like the eagle. He would give us back what we, as I always like to say, what we allow the locust to take away. But how do we have to do this? We have to walk by faith and not by sight. Because with God, all things can be turned right. Because I know that all things come together for the good for those who love the Lord. God will never leave us or forsake us. It's just the soldier's perspective. Again, if you want to know more about the benefits of God and how to truly get the meaning from God's perspective of what understanding is all about and how patience plays into all this, then I would recommend you take the words from Romans 10:9, that you would declare with your mouth that Jesus Christ died on the cross for your sins, and that he is risen again, and that at the end of the day, when this is all over, we will all be with him in the air. So accepting Christ as your personal Lord and Savior will be the greatest thing that one can do. Because this I know, these last 6 years since I've been back home, I've lost more family members and friends to the point that I thought I had left all this in the war zone. But with all the things going on, this transition to God, absent from the body, present the Lord, seems to be equally, in some form or fashion, as if I was in a war zone. So death is real. But you don't want death to have that sting. You don't want to be in the position where you're going to hell. I was told a story of a young lady who had transitioned, and she got to heaven, and she was so excited. And as she was walking through, she noticed that the girl that used to beat her up was there. And then she noticed one of the guys she dated who disrespected her, treated her bad, he was there. Then she noticed a mean old man when she was a kid. He was there. And then she just said, what is this? All these people here who are mean are here. But they kept on walking, her and the angel. And when she got into the big arena, she noticed everybody was quiet. And she didn't understand, why are all these people quiet? And the angel looked at her and said, they're surprised that you made it. See, we don't know who's going to get there. All we know is that if we accept Christ as our personal Lord and Savior, we have a higher probability of being in that number, being in that number. So it's important that we accept Christ as our personal Lord and Savior. And when it comes to that, he will give us what he gave Jesus, because Jesus said, I would not leave you comfortless, but I would ensure that you would get the same power to do more than I did while I walked the earth. He will give us the Holy Spirit. And with that Holy Spirit, now we truly can operate that dunamis power, that power that ensures that we follow God's plan for our life. God's way is the best way. You see, God is the truth, the life, and the way. And if you don't know which way to go, as Michael Jackson used to say, let me show you. Let me show you the way to go. Well, I'm going to tell you, serving God, working with God, allowing God to work with you, allowing Jesus to uplift you, motivate you, allowing the Holy Spirit to instruct you, guide you, and illuminate the Spirit, you will be going in the right direction. You won't be going to California when you're meant to go to New York. You'll be able to truly walk, as that song said, see me in glory with my new robe on. Stop by the crystal river to make my weak bones strong and drink from a fountain that shall never run dry. For God is going to wipe every tear from my eye. And he says, I'm going to make it. I've made up in my mind I'm going to make it. And I ain't going to let nobody stop me. See, God is not looking for perfect. He's looking for obedience. He's looking for servants. See, perfect is only in the dictionary. What we have to strive to do every day is allow God to work to his perfect will in our lives. So again, if you love what we're doing here, please check out kingdombuilderplaza@gmail.com. If you want to contact the home office, the number is, my computer bring it back up here. The number is 313-583-9739. Again, 313-583-9739. And if you want to sow into the ministry, as our leader would say, salvation is free, but ministry costs. We have to be able to make sure that we keep the lights on, as they say. And this is at www.giveafly.com. In other words, GIVELIFY.com. Again, it's been my honor. It is an experience that humbles me every week. It is a joy to be standing here doing something that I never thought I'd be doing. Not in a lifetime. I had all kind of other visions. I remember my bishop years ago, we were all young men, and he said he wanted to be a lawyer. And he had his own plan, and God, like he did with Paul on the road to Damascus, changed his way. Now he has this, he had a 10-point master plan, and he fulfilled that in a few years, but God is doing everything that he told him this plan would be and more. And who became a lawyer was his daughter. So God has a different plan. May not be the way you thought, but when God gives you a plan, God will ensure all he will ensure that you have all that you need to fulfill his plan, as he did with Jesus. It's been an honor. We will see you next week. God bless you. I pray daily for everyone in the world, the country, the states, the city, the community, neighbors, the family, and the individual, that God will richly bless you in every way. Remember, walk by faith and not by sight. Keep soldiering up. I'm your host, David, and this is the Spirit of a Soldier. God bless.
Understands every fear, so we must.